We on? Beautiful. Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see so many faces here. People, as Linda said, who love Tim and Freya and want to share their lives with them. That's great. Great to see you here, and thank you for coming to make this a special day for them. It's really, really important. This is an exciting day, and it's also a very sacred event. This is a sacred moment, if you like. We're doing this not just for each other, not for just Tim and Freya, but before God. And God's ordained this marriage, this occasion. So let's pray together and thank God for this occasion. Our great God, we thank you for this occasion. We know that you've been working together to bring these two precious people together. We thank you for your love. It's only because you've loved us that we really know what love is. And so we ask for your blessing as Tim and Freya make their public declaration of love and marriage today. Amen. So we've been working through the Bible as a church and trying to discover the heart of God. Like, what's God's true nature? What's he really like? And as we've been working through, we've discovered that God is faithful to his promises, that he made some very significant promises to a guy called Abraham. And through thick and thin, God's kept these promises to Abraham through very difficult situations, impossible situations. God continued to just keep faithful to his promise. When Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children in their old age, God was faithful. He said, he made this promise that you'll be a great nation. And he kept that promise, even in an impossible situation. So God is faithful to his promises. That's his heart. He's a faithful God. Today we're going to see another example of God's faithfulness in order for Abraham to keep, or for God to keep his promise to Abraham. He had a son named Isaac. And as it turns out, today we're up to Genesis chapter 24. And I didn't plan this, but it's how Abraham finds a wife for Isaac. So I thought we can't skip that. It's too important to skip. Abraham finds a wife for his son Isaac. I'm not sure why he needed to do that. Maybe he was a little bit like me and had trouble finding a wife, needed all the help he could get. I'm not sure. We're going to read part of the story together. And Georgie's going to come and read Genesis chapter 24, 1 to 7. Thank you, Georgie. We got a microphone, Aaron? I'll leave this here. No, that you can use yours. Over here. Sorry, stay there. I'll move this to you. Where are you going to read from?
To 7, yeah?
1 to 7, yeah.
Yeah. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there."
Thank you, Georgie. This is our first practice. So if we get it wrong, it's just a practice. You're just, don't worry about it. So how do you go about finding God's person, you know, the right person to marry? How do you do that? It's difficult. What kind of person should we be looking for? And is it crucial that we have our family's blessing? These are the questions that as a young guy, as a single guy, I wrestled with. How do I find the right wife? Is it important that mum and dad like her? All those sorts of things. What sort of character should she be? And I was a little, as I said, like Isaac, I needed all the help I can get. So my mates and I would usually on TAFE days, when we were doing TAFE at lunchtime, I'm from Lithgow. I know, I feel your sympathy, that's okay. We used to go up and, I was going to say trawl, it was like trawling, we'd just go up and down the main street of Lithgow trying to catch the eye of, you know, the right sort of girl and hoping that she would catch me, our eye. But I drove Dad's 1968 Toyota Crown. It wasn't really working for me, if you know what I'm saying. It wasn't impressive. It wasn't cool. I needed a cool car, right? Because that's how you get the chick. So I went and got a cool car and put mags on it and put a really nice exhaust on it. So actually, when you saw someone that you wanted to get their attention, just put your foot on the... and try, because that's how you get attention, right? That's how you find the right sort of girls. That's what we thought. When that didn't work, you know... you try the nightclubs and you try the dance moves and all that. Well, if anyone's seen me dance, you know that's not going to work. Thankfully, God's got a different system for finding a wife, because none of those really work for me. My dance moves suck. So the first thing in this story that God helped, that I noticed that Abraham helped Isaac find a wife, was that he had to go to the right place. He had to go to the right place in order to find the right person. We've been reading about the local Canaanite women. That's where he was living, in Canaan. And the Canaanite women had a bit of a reputation. They weren't the sort of girls, let's just say, that you would bring home to mum and dad. They were sort of a little... well, we'll leave it at there. You know, they had a bad reputation for seducing all sorts of men, put it that way. They were doing all sorts of things that you wouldn't bring them to. Abraham wouldn't have been happy. So he said to his servant, "Don't look around here. Go back to where my family is. Go to these people. They know God. They know about God. I want you to go and find a wife for my daughter there, son there." So... That's what the servant did. He went to the right place looking for the right sort of person. And Tim and Freya obviously met each other because they were hanging around a similar circle, a group of people. Now, I know you weren't looking to find each other, but God had other plans, and that's what often happens. When you're in the right environments, when you're hanging around the right groups of people, you'll find the person that God wants you to meet. If you're looking in other areas, you probably won't, and they wouldn't have met each other. So that's the first thing. The second thing the servant did in order to find the right kind of person was that he prayed. He was, you know, imagine having that task of trying to find a wife. I actually have taken that duty on myself, because my son, I don't trust him. And if I have to have a daughter-in-laws, I've got three sons, we've got to make sure we get the right ones, you know what I'm saying? So I don't mind this idea of choosing a wife. That's good. I think it should be up to the dads. I didn't think that when I was 18, but that's a different story. My dad's taste in... no, let's just forget it. Okay, so the second thing that he did is he prayed, and he prayed a specific prayer. He said that this person needs to be kind and generous. He was looking for a woman of character. I found that in verse 14. It says, so this is the servant's prayer. "This is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. And if she says yes, have a drink, and I'll water your camels too, then let that be the one that I've selected for Isaac's wife. And this is how I'll know that you've shown unfaithful love to my master." So it wasn't just that she gave him a drink. She went that extra step. She was a generous person. She was thinking of other people more than herself as well. So he was looking for something a sign that God would say, this is the person, and this is how he prayed. So he prayed this prayer. Before he finished praying, the woman showed up. And that's significant as well. But had he not been praying, he wouldn't have seen that this woman was right in front of him. The one that God had chosen was right here. Maybe he wouldn't have seen her if he hadn't prayed those two things. Do you think that God cares who you marry? I think most definitely. I think this story shows us that God has arranged this event, this meeting, this at this point in time. It wasn't a fluke that God had brought these two people together. And I think God most definitely cares about marriage. I think it's a sacred event, as I said, because it's a symbol or it's an example of a greater thing to come, the marriage of Christ and the church. That our marriages really are reflective of this great event, of the great love and the sacrifice that God made to bring these two together, Christ and the church. And we see that in marriage as well, that love and giving of ourself, giving up ourself, giving our lives, if you like, sacrificing for the other, is a significant thing that God's actually looking for in our relationships as well. And so the third thing I was going to say too, that I know that Tim and Frey have been spending time in prayer and inquiring of the Lord about their partner, so I know that they're both very sure that they've found the right ones. Keep checking with Freya and she's like, yeah, the smile, you can't wipe it off her face. She's convinced. The third thing that the servant did was that he got the approval of the family. So he went to Rebecca's family and he inquired of them. I'll just read you those verses so you don't think I'm making it up. Verse 50, then Laban and Bethel replied, the Lord has obviously brought you here. So there's nothing we can say. Here's Rebecca. Take her and go. Yes, let her be the wife of your master's son as the Lord has directed. It was important to have their approval. Because when two people marry, it's not just the relationship between two people, it's a whole family. And it's really significant, really important that the families are supportive of that marriage. If they weren't, it puts a lot of strain on a newly formed relationship other than what they've already got, all the other things that go with marriage. We really need to be supportive of marriage. So, having said all that, let's do that now. Let's ask the family's approval. You ready to do it? Would Tim and Freya come up the front? We'll get this sacred event underway. And yeah, just stand in the spotlight, Tim. Where else would you stand? I'm going to give you this one so we can hear. This is our practice. Now, you stand there and I'll stand here. Okay, so are you comfortable there? Don't they look good? It's the only time Tim's allowed to dress better than me. Right. So, the family blessing. That was me spitting, sorry. Would Elisa, Ashley, Michaela, Georgia, Tara and Ben please stand? Georgie? Did I say George? Where's Ben? Oh, there you are. This is a really important question. Please say yes. I'm going to ask you two questions. Do you give your blessing to this marriage and will you support them in their journey together? And wasn't that convincing? Was that convincing? I went to a whole lot of point to make this a really... Yeah, okay. Yeah, we do. Oh, thank you. Okay. You may be seated. It's always awkward when they say no, but anyway. I know that your blessing and support will mean a lot to these couple. And they haven't taken this step lightly, as you know, there's a lot at stake. So we thank you for that. Are you guys ready to make your declaration of marriage intent to each other? Tim's like, I've been waiting for a long time. Let's hurry it up. All right. Okay, so, Tim, will you give yourself to Freya to be a husband, to love and live with her according to God's word? Will you love her, comfort her, honour and protect her, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? Freya, will you give yourself to Tim to be his wife, to live with him according to God's word? Will you love him, comfort him, honour and protect him, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live? Okay. Tim, repeat after me. You want to step up to the microphone so we can all hear? These people here to witness this event. So we need it on. Okay. So say I do again. Just make sure we're all...
I do or I will?
I will.
I will.
I will, I do. That's just the practice. Now we'll do the real thing. Okay, so Tim, repeat after me. I, Tim White.
I, Tim White.
Take you, Freya Robinson.
Take you, Freya Robinson.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
Richer, for poorer.
Richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
According to God's holy law.
According to God's holy law.
In the presence of God, I make this vow.
In the presence of God, I make this vow.
Freya. I, Freya Robinson.
I, Freya Robinson.
Take you, Tim White.
Take you, Tim White.
To be my husband.
To be my husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
According to God's holy law.
According to God's holy law.
In the presence of God, I make this vow.
In the presence of God, I make this vow.
All right. Have we got some rings? Who's got the rings? Two rings. Good job. Okay, Tim, you go first. Freya, I give you this ring.
Freya, I give you this ring.
As a sign of our marriage.
As a sign of our marriage.
With my body, I honour you.
With my body, I honour you.
And all that I am, I give to you.
And all that I am, I give to you.
And all that I have, I share with you.
And all that I have, I share with you.
Within the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Within the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gotcha. Can't run now. Okay. Tim, I give you this ring.
Tim, I give you this ring.
As a sign of our marriage.
As a sign of our marriage.
With my body, I honour you.
With my body, I honour you.
All that I am, I give to you.
All that I am, I give to you.
All that I have, I share with you.
All that I have, I share with you.
Within the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Within the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You want me to spit on it? Just offering. Okay, join hands. Inasmuch as you've made these promises together in marriage, declaring them before God and these witnesses, with the authority that's been vested in me, I can declare that in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you are husband and wife. You may kiss your bride.
Thank you.
Tim and Frey are going to sign, do some paperwork. I'm going to sing a song. Is that right? Play a song? Very good. And then Liz is going to come up and pray.
Yeah. You want to know what your song is, yeah?
This is a happy occasion. Come on.
Sing a song. It's a better place since you came along. Since you came along.
Frey, you go first.
Your touch is sunlight through the trees. Your kisses are the ocean breeze. Everything's all right when you're with me. And I, you're my favorite thing. Oh, the love that you bring. Well, it feels like I've opened my eyes again. And the colors are golden and bright again. There's a song in my heart. It's a better place since you came along. It's a better place since you came along. I see the whole world in your eyes. It's like I've known you all my life. We just feel so right. So I pour my heart into your hands. It's like you really understand. You love the way I am. Just feel so right.
We're going to have a photo by the look of it, but I'd like to announce this lovely couple. Would everyone please stand? Please welcome the newly formed couple of Mr. and Mrs. Tim and Freya White. Just wait. Very good. You may be seated. Well, Liz here. Liz is going to come and pray for you guys here. Would you like that in there?
Yeah. I have to read my prayer, right?
It's fine. Hairspray, diet.
Yeah, no, we did the hair before.
Yep. Hair's done. Prayer's done. Up. Yep. Yep.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Tim and Freya, and thank you for their faithfulness to you and for the love and friendship that they give and offer to all those that you put in their path. We thank you for your wisdom that you've brought them together in marriage. And Lord, we know the journey they've each had, and we ask you to use their experiences as they create a new future together. Lord, as these two families unite together, we ask a blessing over each and every one. And we ask that as they spend time together, that you would help special friendships to be created and to grow in love and support for each other. Lord, we give Tim and Freya wisdom as they lead this family together now as one. Help them to honour you in all they do. We pray blessing and joy over them, Lord, for each and every day into the future. We take pleasure, Lord, in celebrating this union with them today, and we commit them to you and pray you'll bless their time away together and keep them safe and on all the days ahead. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Congratulations. Well done. Pray up. Okay. Well, normally we'd have a reception. What we're going to do now is have a mini reception and have communion together. I couldn't think of a better way to have our first meal as the wedding breakfast than communion. Communion is a symbolic meal, if you're not aware of it. It's just a symbolic meal that reminds us that through Jesus' death and his resurrection, that God and man are now united together, as I was talking about earlier. It's this symbol of God being united with man and only made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so with the meal, you'll notice that we take some bread and it's been broken. And the broken bread is a symbol of Jesus' broken body. And the Roman soldiers made a good job of breaking Jesus, and the ladies preparing communion today did a good job of breaking the bread. It's just all torn open. It's a symbolic piece of bread that reminds us of Jesus' body. And the juice is symbolic as well. It reminds us of another promise that Jesus made, that you know, if you come to me and ask for forgiveness, I will forgive you. If you confess your sin, I'll forgive you and remember your sin no more. And that's a really important thing, isn't it? We can't live in this world with a lot of guilt. We come to God and we say, you know, I've stuffed up again. He's going to say, you know what, I forgive you. Let's move on. Let's grow together. And so that's what this meal's about. If you're not sure about it and you think it's some sort of weird ritual, that's okay. Just pass it on to the next person. You don't have to take it. But it's just a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and it's a symbolic meal of Jesus' death and his resurrection. So I would love it if you join in with us. Pass it on if you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. So we've got some helpers to come and to pass that out. Thank you. Just before we do, I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for taking the penalty of my sin upon yourself. I had no way of restoring my relationship with you, but you've done that for me. And so I ask that you will forgive my sin. I'm tired of living my own way. It hasn't brought the life and the joy that I hoped it would. And I ask that you give me strength to live according to your ways this week. And thank you for this sacred moment, this reminder that I am now united with you through what Jesus has done for me. Amen. Thank you, ladies.